Hi, thanks for joining me for the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast, a ministry of Prairie Oaks Baptist Church in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Thank you for listening to these sermons from our Sunday mornings. We pray that they are beneficial for your spiritual growth and help you take the next step spiritually. God bless you, and let's join the audio now. All right, so Exodus chapter 9, we have been going through, leading up to God delivering his children from captivity, from slavery. We started the plagues last week, and now pausing here in the middle, I wanted to spend a few minutes looking at the responses of Pharaoh to the plagues, because it's easy to, as we look, the Bible is the story of God's interaction with humanity, but he does most of that through the children of Israel. But we see sometimes glimpses, sometimes outright advertisement, that God has a much bigger picture than just the children of Israel. That he wants all the nations to know him. It's not just for a little select group, but he wants from every tribe, every kingdom, every people, every nation, every language to know him. And so he's going to tell us a little bit about that this morning. And we're going to talk about, you know, some of the tensions we feel as we read through the plagues here, as God is really rattling the cage of Egypt to get their attention. And so Exodus chapter 9, and it's a long reading. This is one of the longer ones, but there's a lot of explanation that the Lord gives that I want us to see. And so it's verses 13 through 35. And if you're able, if you would stand with me. If you're not, I'm going to be busy looking at the page anyways. But Exodus chapter 9, beginning in verse 13, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause heavy hail to rain down, just such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down, and every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all of the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. My people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I've gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and spelt were not struck, for they were late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, spread out his hands to the Lord. And then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, that we might know you. It is a vast mosaic, bigger than what our minds can conceive. And yet, even then, your word is just a glimpse of who you are in your majesty, in your glory, in your wisdom, in your might, in your love, and in your grandness. And so, Lord, use your spirit to stir within us. Not just to grasp the words, but to be changed at heart. Not just for the moment, but for our life, Lord, that we would be changed by your Spirit. Those that need to be saved, that they would trust in you for the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. Even those who have been saved, that they would take the next step spiritually to walk in accordance with you, in communion with you. And we pray, Lord, to be used by you as a church to make a difference in our community, that disciples would be made, that lives would be changed, and that your name would be praised here and around the world. And in the name and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior and friend, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So it's interesting what's going on here is you see here, Pharaoh is caught up in something here that's way over his head, isn't he? He doesn't perhaps realize it, or perhaps he's stubborn enough that he knows he's in over his head, but he doesn't want to change course. Has anyone else ever been there? Yeah, it's, whoa, this is way over my head, but by golly, I'm from Missouri. I don't stop. Mules are in our blood. Plow ahead. To my destruction. A lot of my work projects end up that way too. But anyways, that's where Pharaoh is. And you can tell when the pressure's on, oh, it gets hard. But when the pressure's off, he's the same old person. You know, there's an old saying that a person convinced against their will is of the same mind still. You know, I meant what I said when I said it, but I changed my mind because the heart had never changed. I hate where I am, but I sure loved getting here. That's kind of how we are as human beings. I regret the consequences, but I don't regret the sin. And that's where Pharaoh is at. And Pharaoh is not alone in that. But I want us to notice what the Lord is doing here with Pharaoh. Because what happened is, as I've kept reading through this, it really just kind of amazes me, the conversation that we see, particularly here. But you get glimpses of it in some of the other conversations the Lord has through Moses with Pharaoh. Because here is Pharaoh. He is the leader and imagined god of the nation of the Egyptians. They worship him amongst a bunch of other idols. And the nation is powerful. They are the superpower of their day. And here comes this riffraff, a shepherd and his older brother with walking sticks saying, the Lord God of your slaves says to let my people go so they can come and worship me. And then things go south from there. Because these slaves that he's oppressed for 400 years, him and his ancestors, they apparently have a very powerful God. But I think Pharaoh is at a point, and some of his officials, that he can't be that big. He can't be that powerful. Look at his people. He can't be that powerful. I mean, he's just brought a bunch of frogs on, right? It's been, you know, covered with flies. That was awkward, you know, but still. And so it gets worse and worse as it goes along. And so the Lord has this conversation with Pharaoh here. There's been six plagues so far. And Pharaoh is told here, I'm about to go to your heart. I'm about to get really serious with you. Why? That you may know there is none like me in all the earth. Because that's one of the first challenges of a people that believe in a multitude of gods, that any God name will work as long as you're just jumping through the hoops, right? But here's this one God who says, no, there's none other like me. That you may know that all the earth belongs to me. That's a very bold claim in a multicultural world, in a world that is populated by religions of multiple gods. This one shows up and says, nope, it's all mine because I created it. Not only does all the land belong to him, but also all the seas, all of the sky, he made them all. To the point that each and every one of you belong to him. Because he made you, handcrafted in your mother's womb. Gives you breath. You know, I was reminded over the weekend, talking to a respiratory therapist, that we can go for weeks without food. It's uncomfortable, but we can. We can go for days without water. It's uncomfortable, but you can. But you'll only make it minutes without air. And he gives you every breath. That in him, we have our very being, whether we know him or not. And so that's reason number one why it seems like the Lord is saying, I want you and everyone within this voice to know there is no God like the Lord Jehovah. And then he says, I want you to know, and he says here in verse 15, that if I had stretched out my hand, I could have wiped you out and you would be gone. Egypt would be a mystery. Nobody would know who built those pyramids because there wouldn't be any people there. That's how powerful he is. He is a God who has judged. We know he has because we see the evidence of the flood at the highest mountains and in layers throughout the canyons of the earth. There has been a God who has judged in the past and will judge again. And here he is. He says that if I stretched out my hand, I could have wiped you off from the earth. But for this purpose, I have brought you to this point, Pharaoh. Pharaoh, you've always wanted to know, what is your purpose? What is your grand role in the plan of life, in your place in history? Pharaoh, you get to have a place in all of history. It's for this moment. And it's what's scary is that we all know what that purpose is, and Pharaoh doesn't get it. Because he's so stuck on himself. And I want you to pause and think about that for a second, because that's our first, the preacher goes to meddling part, is that if we're busy stuck on ourselves, we will miss our role in God's grand plan for history. We got to get our minds off of self and look to him. Set your affections on the things which are above. God has this great grand plan of bringing the gospel throughout the world, that lives would be transformed by being saved from the heart and on the from the inside out. We have that role as a participant in that. This isn't staying put today. And His role for us is to be sharers of Him. To share Him. And here's us piddling with my stuff, totally missing out on what God has going. Pharaoh is missing out, and he's being told by the Lord through Moses, just because we didn't like the messenger doesn't mean we shouldn't listen to the message when it's from the Lord. For this purpose I've raised you up, Pharaoh, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Now, I don't know if you've read far enough into, in Deuteronomy, in Joshua, in Judges, but in those books, the nations are still talking about what God did to Egypt and Pharaoh. 40 years, 100 years later. They're like, that's the God that parted the Red Sea. That's the God that crushed Egypt. That God. When you get all the way to the book of Samuel, the Philistines are still talking about what God did 400 to 500 years earlier to the Egyptians. The Lord wants people to know who He is. That's our grand role in history, yours and mine. So Pharaoh, be warned, you're not hurting God, you're not hampering God, you're actually doing what your role in history is, and it's not what you think it is. It's not about you. And while we know the end of the story, Pharaoh doesn't, nor do his officials. And I think this is the point where you start to see the officials are like, oh, we need to choose sides. Because if we keep sticking with Pharaoh, this looks like a disaster. He's stuck on his pride, and pride goes up before destruction. Or they can start listening to the God of Moses and maybe spare some damage. At least. Because God's judgment is not some ego trip. God knows what we were made to do. God knows what we were made for. We were made for Him. And so when He wants these people to know who He is, that's what He's showing His power for. That's what He's showing for His fame. And even though Pharaoh is playing his part, it's to his doom. It's to his loss because his heart is still in rebellion and sin. And also God's judgment is tempered by grace, in that in these warnings, as you will learn as we go through the rest of the Bible, God's warnings of judgment are opportunities for repentance. And so here He is. He's warning them in order that here is your opportunity. Your rebellion is only hurting you. And that's why it's really interesting to me. So verses 18 through 20. 18 tells us, the Lord says, here's what's coming. It's going to be hail. Unlike anything you have ever seen in your life. Hail mingled with fire, which maybe it was actual drops of fire coming down. It may have been lightning, which would ignite all sorts of things. It's kind of what I imagine. But I'll let you imagine as you wish. But this is ferocious. But God says, so here's what would be wise to do. Don't be standing outside. Don't leave anything outside. You know? I was looking at a car this on Friday, and the dents all over the hood. It's like, I guess this one got caught in a hailstorm. Yep. That's a chunk of metal. You don't want to be the animal or the person standing outside when this cuts loose. And that was just a little hailstorm. This one here, God says, whatever's outside will be destroyed. And notice, those who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, they brought their stuff, made them flee to the houses. I like the word flee there. But those who did not regard, those who ignored, those who were apathetic, those who were rebellious, they didn't care, and they paid the consequences. God's judgment is tempered with grace. They may not have necessarily believed in the Lord for salvation, but at least they were smart enough to heed the warning. Head for the roofs. And they avoided greater loss. And then I want you to notice God's judgment is also selective. God's judgment makes a distinction. So the Lord has Moses stretch out his hands, bring on the hail, and the hail comes, and it goes throughout the whole land of Egypt, except one place. You noticed that, didn't you? Except the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were. There was no hail. And you've been out and about driving, and there's like this rain and hail and all this going on, and then you drive just a little farther, and there's like a dry line, and there's nothing. It's like, over there? Wow. Over here? Oh, sun's shining. It's just like that. So that's what it looked like there in Goshen. They were standing there, and the sun was shining, and just over there where the Egyptians lived, it's raining destruction. That would be a very sobering thing to see. Because here's the thing. Sometimes we will suffer with the world. You know, the earlier plagues, like the water into blood, there was no distinction. Everyone's water went bad. It doesn't say that there was a distinction. And you think about how was it that even the locust, the next plague, it doesn't say anything about there being a distinction. God just let the whole place go. Because he wanted his children to also know who he is as well. How did they wind up in Egypt? Well, there was a famine, and it affected everybody. Sometimes we will suffer with the world, and God has a purpose in those things. It is to drive us to know him better, to find that our substance and sustenance is in him, that what he is the one who keeps us. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so there may be times we suffer the famine, defeat, slavery, sickness, death. Those are parts of being in the world. But sometimes we will be spared by trusting God's instructions, or just because God did. It's like in this case, there was no hail in the land of Goshen. The pestilence that killed the livestock didn't touch the land of Goshen. There was no flies in Goshen. There was no darkness in Goshen. And in the case of the death of the firstborn, they were covered by the blood. They chose to follow God's instructions. There are times that by following God's instructions, we save ourselves some wear and tear. Maybe it's his financial principles that save us some wear and tear. Maybe it's the how to live a healthy life that spares us some wear and tear farther down the road. Maybe it's just by living the moral life that he has described saves us some heartache and pain farther down the road. Following God's instructions is for our good. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy and make things rose petals and puppy kisses, but it is for our good. But one thing that is a certainty, we are always protected from the wrath of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so when the hard times come, it is not punishment, because Christ took His punishment upon us. Now, we'll always need some disciplining. I'll always probably need some pruning, some refining. Those are terms that God uses and says that He's doing. Take pruning. What does He prune for? What hurts? But it produces more fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Souls saved oftentimes because we respond rightly as we go through suffering. People see that and want to know the reason for the hope we have. What about refining? It hurts. It's hot. But like the refiner sees in the metals, as it melts down, he gets to see himself, his reflection in that. And that's God's desire in refining us, is that he would see his son. If his own son endured suffering, refining, learned obedience by suffering, then how much more so us who do have sin, because we're sinners, are benefited by these things. But God always provides for his own. And he has this Passover covering there. And we're going to talk more about that in a week or two. How God protects us from his wrath. Because Christ took it for us. So I want you to remember that. It helps us to filter when suffering comes, when hurtful things come. And one thing that is a common denominator in that is that we need to repent. There's always something that, oh gosh, always doing something. But God, he wants real repentance. Because did you notice as we read through this what Pharaoh's response was? We talked a little bit about it earlier. Here's Pharaoh. I've sinned. The Lord is righteous. I'm wicked. Is he really repenting? We'll see the fruit and we'll know that it wasn't repentance. Notice here, he says, I've had enough. That's what he said with the flies or one of those. I've had enough. All he really wanted was he regretted the consequences. No more of the pain, please. He never grieved for his sin as it was an offense against God and harmful to him. If I still want my sin, I just don't want to get caught. That's not repentance. Amen. Repentance happens when I see my sin as God sees it and I grieve for my sin. As David said in Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned and done this great evil. You look at Saul and David. David did some pretty bad things compared to Saul. But Saul always passed the buck, blamed someone else, tried to bargain with God. Things that we're going to see here in Pharaoh as well. Or as David just flat out, I've done wrong, God, creating me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Look at Pharaoh here. He says, this time I have sinned. Really? No, you've sinned a lot. He forgot the grace. He's sort of like an insurance policy. God gets the blame, never the credit. It was an act of God. We forget that any good is a gift from God. We make the empty promises. Pharaoh says, I'll let you go. Just get the pressure off. But once the pressure is off, the deal is off. All he wanted was the removal of the pain. Didn't really want God. And here's something for us as Christians. If the only time we really want to spend time with God is when we're in pain, what do you expect God to give you then? because He wants you to spend time with Him. We would do well to want to spend time with God, even when we're not in pain. Amen. Wouldn't we? If we only seek God when we're in pain, then we're setting ourselves up for God to only give us pain. Because a loving God knows that we will distract and hurt ourselves with the things of this world. And He loves us too much to let us distract ourselves from Him. And notice, He wants to bargain with God. He says, there with the locusts, He says, all right, you can go. Well, not all of you, just some of you can go. He wants to bargain with God. There's a song in our hymnal, I surrender all. That's the attitude God is looking for. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That is the glimpses of true repentance and faith. And we never will see that in Pharaoh throughout these chapters. And we'll see that in people's lives. God wants us. The God of the universe, who spoke stars and spun galaxies into existence with the breath of His mouth, wants to spend intimate time with you as an individual. Really, just you and Him. Because He can. Because here's where really just want to spend a couple minutes here just asking a few questions here. Because Moses says, okay, I'll go out of the city, I'll pray to the Lord, and you'll see that there's the hail, the plague will stop. And you'll know, you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know, because the Lord knows hearts, you do not yet fear Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But do we really know Him and want more of Him? I dare say the answer will be revealed, just the same as it was in Pharaoh, in the decisions we make with our time, with our resources. Will I seek time with Him to pray, to hear from Him in His Word? Will I seek time with His people, as iron sharpens iron, to be changed by His Spirit working within me? Are you hard of heart? Do you want your sin more than you want God? Because it's fearful to want your sin more than God. But I'm going to be transparent with you for a minute. There's still some sins that I want more than I want God. And I have to go to God and say, I'm sorry. I don't like my wanter. And you know what? That's what God wanted in the first place. Because He knows I can't change my heart. He knows you can't change your heart any more than I can change mine. But you know who can change a heart? He can. And so when I come to Him and I say, God, I don't like what I see in me. I don't like where my wonder is going. Will You change me? He says, that's what I was hoping You would say. Because that's when He gets the glory. That's when we get to know Him even more. Because the one that we walk the closest with is the one we will be most like. We will resemble our company that we keep. And that's how God changes that heart. Sometimes He changes it just like that. And some parts of it, it's by keeping company with Him. And He just You wake up one day and realize, that wonder has been changed in a way I never thought it would. Those sins don't look the same as they used to, because I see something better in my Savior. And that's what He wants. His grace is sufficient, even in the sin of apathy. Search me and try me, the psalmist said. Make sure there's no wicked way, and show me the way that is everlasting. Psalm 139. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O Lord, be acceptable in your sight. My strength and my redeemer. My strength, the one who gives me the strength to change. And my redeemer, who has the power to change me when I can't. That's our God. And so we're going to have a song of invitation, because that's God's invitation. If you haven't been saved, then He gives the new heart. If you have been saved and there's still things that need worked on, this is your opportunity to do business with God in that as well. To be able to get an opportunity to just, God, my wanter still needs more of you. But I want to want more of you. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. Pray that we've been able to be a blessing to you through this ministry. And we pray that you are blessed as you follow Christ.